Good morning.
Thank you, Casey.
Beep, 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 beep. Burr. Hello. You have reached Jonah. I am not available to receive your call right now. If you are not a salesman, you may leave a message at the tone. Leave your name, contact information, and the reason for your call. If I am interested after receiving your message, I will get back to you. Beep. Hello, Jonah. This is God. We chatted not long ago about an assignment to Nineveh. I note you have not reported there as requested. I expect you to report there and begin the assignment immediately. In the event you do not report soon, I will be in contact with you. Yep. Most of us know this story from our Sunday school lessons, Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the giant fish. We might not have recognized that this story is one that describes a call from God. At that time, God needed someone to go to complete a task for him. He chose someone that had all of the talents he needed to complete the task successfully. Unlike many of the other stories of people who were called by God, like Moses and Abram, Jonah did not obey. God chose Jonah as his emissary to go to the city of Nineveh. This city was known for its sins in the ancient world. Jonah was to go there and preach to the people of the city to repent and return to the Lord. God promised he would destroy Nineveh if the citizens did not return to him. Instead, Jonah left town and fled the exact opposite direction from Nineveh. Jonah did not heed God's call. Jonah did not prosper. In fact, he disappeared. While he was on a ship, a big storm came up, frightening all of the sailors. When the crew realized the problem was Jonah, they threw him overboard. He was swallowed by a great fish. He remained in a dreadful state in the body of a whale until he had a change of heart, repented, and agreed to obey the Lord. There are several descriptions of calls in the Old Testament, but this one to Jonah captures us so very well. Jonah could be a contemporary of ours in what I refer to as the me-me generation. He has no consideration of his neighbors, no desire to help anyone but himself. He was totally confident of his ability to escape this unpleasant request from God by leaving town. This part of the story is only the beginning. After waiting in the great fish, Jonah has a change of heart and tells God he will go to Nineveh to take God's message of repentance to the people there. As God predicted, Jonah was a capable messenger. He did such a good job of relaying the urgency of the message that the people did repent, stopped sinning, and returned to worshiping. God had a change of heart and did not destroy the city. Was Jonah happy about that? Well, not exactly. In fact, he was furious with God. Jonah thought the citizens of Nineveh should be punished. After all, he suffered. God reminded Jonah that he was forgiven for not obeying, and that the citizens of Nineveh deserved forgiveness too. Jonah never seemed to get that part. He was back into the me-me phase of self. He was not able to understand that when God calls us, we are to act as his agent. We are to love others. We are to be Christ to those who are in need around us. That service does not make us better than those we love. Christ is very specific about not expecting to control or be in a special honored place as we serve. So what about this call thing? Does God still do this? Absolutely. God is constantly trying to reach each of us in his creation. He wants to connect to us. He wants to send us to connect with others in his name. When we pray, we convey our needs, wants, fears, and hopes to God, trusting he will take care of us. When he calls us and sends us out to do something, he expects us to trust him. He expects us to do as Noah did and just go out and build the ark. No questions asked, no matter how crazy it sounds. Jonah shows us just how hard that can be. I can share with you that discerning a call and following a call are not simple tasks. It's very easy to think you are called to do something when in reality, you just may really want to do it. My first pointer in this matter is that if it looks really appealing, take your time. God's calls usually involve a lot of faith on your part. Rarely are they glamorous. In fact, most often they look impossible, with a big risk of failure and ridicule. Think of the youth David heading out to fight Goliath with a small bag of rocks and one slingshot. Or Sarah being told she would have a child in her later years. You will be stretched to accept a call, and a strong faith will be essential. In my experience, calls usually start small. You may feel this sudden, unconnected urge to start going to a Bible study or work in a ministry. You decide to try it out and find you are fulfilled with the fruits of this ministry. Another opportunity comes along, and you try that too. These opportunities keep arising. Along the way, you note they might be connected to a consistent path that lifts up your spirits and your relationship with God and others. You may be answering a call to do God's work. If we can hear God's call to us and faithfully do as we are asked, God is faithful in his blessings. If we do not answer God's call, we are denied his blessings. We are left to our own devices, or worse. We may spend a lot of time in the belly of the whale. Relaxing control of ourselves, flexing to God's plan, allows us to be instruments of God in the world. We get to share love and see that love come back to us from that sharing. In Luke today, Jesus talks of answering our common call from God. He speaks of the work with the poor, homeless, sick, and those in prison. Basically, he is calling us to look around us, to tend to those in all sorts of need that we encounter. God wants us to help him reach out in his name to those in our neighborhoods today. The needs of the world around us are many, and that is why we are all needed in different ways, why we have different gifts. The stories of leaders who answered God's call teach us that we need to trust God will equip us with what we need to succeed. The foundation of call is faith, faith that does not question or seek guarantees. How many times did God have to tell us not to worry? That is a way of saying to give yourself over to God's plan, to trust him to lead us to a better today and tomorrow. Last Wednesday, I heard Bishop Monterosa from Costa Rica preach at an ordination at Palmer Episcopal Church. He reminded us of God's two central commandments, to love God with all our might and to love our neighbors as ourselves. He went on to say there are many ways to love our neighbors, but there's only one way to love God, and that is to love our neighbors. When God calls us, he is sending us out to love our neighbors in some way. Listen for your call. Believe God will lead you and care for you. Follow him always. Amen.